Dobre došli. Is anyone, thank you all for coming. Is anyone here for the first time? Anyone here for the 356th time? Anyone here has been so many times they can't remember? Okay. Do we have a Bhagavad Gita? We have our translators. Yes, thank you. Paula. So I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text number 28. Yesham twandikatam papam janana punya karmanam te dvanva moha nirmukta padrante mam dridavritaha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Please repeat. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, 728. Dvadisit. Dvadisit osam. 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 Dvadisit osam. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are free from the dualities of delusion and thus engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regular principles of religion, who have acted piously and have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. That means one of our main problems is that we're deluded. Of course, people don't think they're deluded, so that's one of the reasons why they're deluded. If you go up to a person on the street and you tell them, sir, I think you're deluded, what would their reaction be? They'll immediately say, I'm not deluded. You're deluded into thinking I'm deluded. And then we say, well, that's your delusion. And that can go on. It's been going on since time immemorial. So, it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahatsevan dwaram ahur vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dwaram noshitam sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord transverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to be fully engaged in his transcendental service, loving service, with determination. So the text again, Yesham Andhikatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Tedvanva Moha Nirmukta Vajante Mam Dridavritaha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharane. From the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna just to deliver him from his delusions. His first delusion, Krishna tells Arjuna, is that asochan avasochan stvam pragyavadam chapasase gatasums agatasums cha nanu sochitim pandita, that while speaking learned words, you are mourning for that which is actually not worthy of grief. In other words, Krishna was politely telling Arjuna that you're not a pandit, because a pandit doesn't act like you do. In other words, it's a polite way of telling Arjuna that he was a fool. Of course, Arjuna was a scholar. He knew the Vedas. He could quote so many different shastras when he was arguing with Krishna, but Krishna was not very impressed by his arguments. Because ultimately, Krishna told Arjuna, you've added 1 plus 1, and you got 3. Now, anyone who goes to school and they take an arithmetic class, and every number they add up winds up one number too much, because they started with 1 plus 1 and they thought it was 3, obviously they wouldn't be lauded as a very expert mathematician. Similarly, in this material world, everyone feels they know something. Unfortunately, one thing that they don't know is who they are. So that is an important thing to know. If you're stopped on the street by the police, and they say, who are you? And you say, I don't know. You would not be, but I'm a PhD in such and so. Really? But you don't know who you are? No, I have no idea who I am. I do have an education, though, but they never taught me who I was. My mother never told me. My father wasn't really so sure either, so. Maybe you can tell me. So similarly, Krishna told Arjuna, you're speaking very, very learned words. Unfortunately, you don't know who you are. And not only that, you don't know who you are, but now you're thinking yourself to be something you're not, or someone you're not. If you go up to a person in the street and you ask them, who are you? And they say, I'm Lord Jesus Christ. And you go up to that's probably worse than them saying, I forgot, I don't know who I am. But if they say, I'm Lord Jesus Christ, and they actually believe it, then you know they're in a worse situation. One person has the loss of memory, and the other person is just crazy. So Krishna tells Arjuna, not only you don't know who you are, but you're also somewhat crazy. And then Krishna proves it to Arjuna, and to anyone else who happens to listen to Bhagavad Gita, can immediately understand that we're crazy. But that's not a big thing, because everyone is crazy. So when you're living in a society where everyone's crazy, then if someone is sane, they're considered to be abnormal, because they're not normal. Normal is to be crazy. And what is that craziness? Krishna tells Arjuna that everyone's body is changing. So everyone can see that. There is no question of our body changing. But we ourselves, who are aware of all these different changes, we're always the same person. Therefore, it's natural to conclude the person who is aware of all the different changes is not changing. Otherwise, how could they be aware of all the changes? If every day you had a shirt, and every day you did something, you know, you went to work and whatever, and every day a different person put on the shirt, who was trying to figure out where the shirt was yesterday, they wouldn't be able to do it, because they weren't in the shirt yesterday. But if a person has a shirt, and he goes to work, comes back the next day, and then goes to the beach in the same shirt, he can remember he was wearing that shirt yesterday, because it's the same person. So similarly, we ourselves are in a body that's changing, but more or less it appears to us to be a similar body to the old one. But the fact is, that's because we're not changing. That's scientific proof. We cannot say that that's not scientific. As I mentioned before, Srila Prabhupada was at a lecture in Durban, and there was another Indian gentleman who was also giving some part of the dialogue. It was a conference. And when Srila Prabhupada mentioned about transmigration of the soul, immediately this Indian gentleman objected and said, Swamiji, why are you talking about this Hindu doctrine or dogma of transmigration of the soul? So Prabhupada said that this is not a dogma. This is actually science. And then Prabhupada went on to explain how it's actually science, because science means that you have a theory, then you have an experiment, and then you have an observation, and then you come to your conclusion. So it is not that 5,000 years ago Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita, and he said, my dear Arjuna, now we're on this battlefield, and I'm going to speak to you Hindu dogma. Why? Because I'm a Hindu god. So naturally, Hindu gods speak Hindu dogma. And luckily, you're a Hindu. So it's it's like a perfect arrangement. So as you know, all Hindus have bodies that change, unlike other people. But, and Hindus have to leave their body eventually. Sorry to tell you. It's one of the unfortunate things about being a Hindu. But lucky for Hindus, they get another body after leaving that one. Self-realized Hindus are not bewildered by all these changes. Krishna was not speaking to Arjuna as a Hindu god, nor is Arjuna Hindu. There was no Hinduism 5,000 years ago. Nor is it true that only Hindus change their bodies, because every living entity and every species of life is constantly changing their body from one body to the next. And everybody has a conscious soul that's alive, conscious person who's aware of that body, and no matter what change the body goes through, the person still is aware of it. Now we may say, sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm distressed, but that means we're aware of being happy and distressed. It's not that we're saying that the soul is impersonal and that it doesn't, for him, everything's the same. Happiness is the same, distress is the same, whether someone gives him a flower or shoots a gun at him, it's the same thing, because it's a soul, he's always the same. No, our experiences are always different at every moment, because our body is always changing, and our circumstances are changing. Because the soul is a person, he has different experiences. But the person who's experiencing is always the same. Now, that's our delusion, is that we actually think we're this body. Even after Krishna gives the explanation to Arjuna, then Arjuna says, yes, it's true, maybe I'm not this body, but I still don't want to kill my relatives. So Krishna says, yes, that's a fact, right now you're in delusion, and therefore you're not going to appreciate what I'm telling you exactly, but still you have to tolerate. You have to do your duty and tolerate the ever-changing material energy. So tolerance is what Krishna is talking about here in order to get free from delusion. Because we're looking at the material world as a big, big playground. And in this playground, there is one hero or heroine. And it happens to be ourselves. And everyone else is more or less a supporting actress or actor in that great drama that's going on. And the drama is, sometime in the future, maybe in the real distant future, I'm going to become very important. And people will recognize my importance. And finally, everything will be good in this world. When everyone finally surrenders. After all, many people don't surrender. As I've said in Bhagavad Gita, the fools, they deride at my descending in this human-like form. They don't know my future lordship over all that be. So people, every living entity in this material world has their God plan. We may not be aspiring to rule the universe right now. It's just going to take us some time, that's all. Even there is some religion that promises if you strictly follow their religion, in the future they'll make you something like Brahma. And if you're really good Brahma, with four heads or whatever, then they'll give you a couple of universes. It's a kind of like a pyramid structure. And then when you get good at two universes, four universes, etc., etc., and then finally maybe they let you retire. So this idea that in the future I'll become more and more important, more and more the controller, more and more the enjoyer of the material nature, this is our delusion because we're not the body. And in order to come to this platform realizing that who we actually are, Krishna advises, first of all, to try to regulate our activities. Now we're being dictated by the material nature in our activities. Dictated in the sense, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These are actually, it's not that the body just kind of sits there and says, would you like to eat today? Oh, you didn't eat yesterday. Oh, it's all right. Maybe you don't want to eat today either. I won't bother you. Oh, what about next month? I'll ask you if you want to eat. Or sleep. The body doesn't say, would you like to sleep today? You've been sleeping every day since you've been born, but maybe today we'll give you a break. You won't have to sleep for another week. Is that all right? No more sex desire. You don't want sex desire. We'll turn it off for a few years. Is that cool? And don't be in anxiety because we're going to protect you. You'll be invulnerable like Superman, and even kryptonite won't get you. No, the body doesn't say that at all. It says, you rascal, look around. Everyone's eating better than you are. Look at that. You're sleeping so little. Everyone else is sleeping and enjoying it. Get a life. Go to sleep. And sex life, come on. Everyone else is enjoying. Get with it. And as far as defending, take a few karate classes. Then you'll feel more confident, self-confident. Act as if you're going to live in this body forever. So the material nature doesn't tell us, you know, just relax and don't worry about it. No, it engages us 24 hours a day in all kinds of activities. Even when we're asleep, we're tossing back and forth in our dreams, trying to serve our false ego. Even when we become a bird in our dreams, we have to become the best bird on the block. So in this way, we're being dictated by the material energy, and we're more or less working. What are people working for? Pay for their house so they have some shelter, pay for their food on the table, pay for working so hard in order to maintain this body, because the body's demanding it. If we don't work for the body, it's going to kick us out. if we go on strike, we'll get fired. So therefore, everyone is a very sincere servant of their material body. And they can't, most people can't regulate their activities. Whatever the body says, yes, sir. The body says, jump, and we only ask, how high? But to regulate activities takes some intelligence. For instance, we chant our beads a certain number of minimum number of rounds a day, so that we soon as some, usually we pick up our beads, or at least I pick up my beads, and my mind says, "Don't do it. You're going to suffer." As soon as you start chanting, immediately your mind's going to wander. So don't do it. You have so many other things to do. Go to sleep, eat. Do anything, but don't do it. Hare Krishna. No, no. I warned you. You don't love me. You never listen to me. But I'm not going to quit. I haven't given up on you. But our intelligence says, don't listen to the mind. It's the same old story. Chant Hare Krishna. So we chant a certain number of rounds a day by using our higher intelligence. And therefore, in that way, we conquer over the material senses and the mind. That's called regulation. But after we regulate our activities, that's not the end of it, just regulation. You know, get up in the morning, go to here, go there. Yes, sir. And at the end, we get the reward. Here's some prasadam. Oh, thank you. Mangal Arti. Guru Pooj. Class. Oh. Stay awake. Ah. When's prasadam? So it's not enough to just be regulated. One also has to do something positive. Yes, I want to do something. I want to see the deities, how nicely they're dressed. I want to, you know, do some service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. I want to chant my Hare Krishna. So many people even come to the bhajans, the kirtan melas, because they want to chant Hare Krishna. They want to do something positive in Krishna's service. But that's not the end of it. Because we also have to learn tolerance. Otherwise, even we're at the temple, we're trying to engage in some service, or in our home, still our mind is batting its back and forth. You know, it's too cold in here, or it's too hot. I like the speaker, I don't like the speaker. Well, he told a good joke, so I like him now. But he said it was not very nice. My mind just switched my opinion. So our mind is just going back and forth like a yo-yo. Therefore, one has to learn tolerance. Because by tolerance, then we can actually learn how to hear the philosophy. Then by tolerance, we can transcend this, as Krishna says, Ichcha Dvesha Samutena Dvanva Mohena Bharata. We can stop forgetting, this is my friend, this is my enemy, this is my potential friend, this is my potential enemy, this person is useless, he doesn't take sides. I can't even fight with them. No enjoyment whatsoever. No, we see people as our friends and enemies because we expect something in the material world, either favorable or unfavorable towards our material existence. And therefore, those who help us in our material existence, they become our friends, and those who are against my material existence, they become my enemies. And as the politicians say, the enemies are my friends. Like when I was in South America, Peru, every country has their friends and enemies, and there's a whole list and a whole history of every war they fought since the advent of Jesus Christ. So there, they had their number one enemy was Chile, Peru. Chile. Peru's enemy was Chile. But Bolivia was their friend because Bolivia was the enemy of Chile. So the enemies of my enemies are my friends. And Ecuador was also an enemy. But it would become really complicated if Ecuador was friends with Bolivia. Then you don't have to, it becomes confusing. But there's varieties of friends and enemies in the material world. As Krishna says, Sarin mitya udasina madhyasta dveshu bandishu sudushva pitapapeshu samabhudir vishishate. That there is pious people we see, impious people, bosom friends, bosom enemies, whatever. But it's all based upon hankering lamentation. Whatever's going through our mind, we get attached to, we become averse to. So is this attachment or aversion. But one who's able to just listen and tolerate, who's not worried about whether I'm going to get something to eat or my place to sleep, who's not concerned with friends and enemies or gain or loss, then they can actually listen with attention. And then they can actually understand something, motivation, reason for doing things beyond just trying to take care of my material body. They can actually accept I should do something to please Krishna and to get out of my delusion of identifying myself with this gross and subtle material body. They can tolerate and get free from delusion. Then above that, that's liberation. Above that, then they can accept devotional service. Actually do their activities out of devotion for Krishna. And then by doing that out of devotion to Krishna, gradually they can experience Krishna. Krishna reveals himself. They realize they have spiritual senses. They experience the pleasure of associating with Krishna and his associates. And then it becomes so intense that they can't forget Krishna. That means they're actually on the spiritual platform again. So as Prabhupada just writes here, that's why devotees come, pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, just to teach us his philosophy of how to revive our relation with Krishna and get out of our delusions. So I'll stop there. Thank you. I think it's time for the arti. So thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.